aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. So for another day of broadcast insolence.
And what a day it is. What is the guest we have scheduled today? Pretty incredible, if I do say so myself.
There is a buzz in the radio station today, though, because, and I can't fully explain it, but there was a line outside the traffic reporter's booth.
So popular.
I know, like a lot of people going on vacation or something, they need a little traffic report.
I've never seen more. Now, the way this radio station is laid out is that this is where Anna and I are in the main studio, and then Kevin is in his little little sports booth, and Jen is in the traffic booth. Right? These are tiny little booths. They're the size of closets. Not even a nice closet, a small closet. They've got...
With a great view, though.
Great view. They got a full window view looking out over the river, but they have all this equipment around them, and you can only barely move inside that booth by yourself. Would you say that's true?
Oh, yeah.
It's accurate.
Can't bend over.
I looked up to see... It's like a pilot. You know, it's like a cockpit, essentially, is what it's like, right? I look up. On the screen, we have cameras and all these things. You can look at this at WGNRadio.com if you'd like. You can see all the everybody in their positions if you're not watching it on CLTV. But I bring this up because we are on CLTV right now.
Mm-hmm.
In this booth, there were six people in the booth with Jen.
And we looked up at the little monitor, you and I, and we're like, what's going on?
I thought it was a medical emergency.
I was like, is this someone need CPR?
It turns out that Jen has brought her puppy in with her to work today because you had a, you know, this happens sometimes, family emergencies, right? People bring their kids, and in some cases, you got to bring a dog.
Well, yeah, your puppy just had the surgery, and so it's not really welcome at daycare. Yes.
Right. And also because and your husband just had surgery, so he's not welcome at daycare either.
Yeah.
Right? So
poor Jen, taking care of everybody.
So there's the dog. If you're watching on the CLTV, you see the dog. If you're listening on the radio, I just want to explain to you that it was like a circus trick to see what was going on in the traffic booth. And it's funny because you can tell the dog lovers in this studio, in this building, versus the ones who are not.
Right.
Because there's people huffing and puffing in the hallways. There is a dog in there.
Wait, why are we allowed dogs?
There is a dog in the workspace.
And then the rest of us like, oh, let me see.
We're all in line to go play with the dog.
In a good mood.
Yeah.
Well, this is Daisy the Cardigan Corgi. She's 6 months old, so she's still a baby. But she is on the training track to become a therapy dog eventually.
Aww.
And out of the 5 levels to get there, she's already a level 3.
Oh.
And she's only, how old?
Six months old. So you really can't waste that. When you have that, I just got to make her, you know, this dog that eventually helps people. So
gets you on the plane for free, right? Is that the idea? So they can fly with the dog?
I don't think therapy dogs can do that. Like service dogs, there's a little bit of a difference. But she'll be able to go into nursing homes and hospitals and visit kids at school.
Sweet as that, Jen.
Yeah. Or, you know, go and sit in our coworkers' offices to try and help lower their blood pressure.
I want to tell you right now, it's you can tell how stressed out people are in the broadcast industry now because the line out the door of people just wanting to pet the dog to feel better about themselves.
Jen's giving out tickets like at the deli. Like, wait your turn. You'll get your 10 minutes with the dog.
She's like falling asleep now. She's had a big day already.
Yeah.
How do you find out about this therapy class if people interested in doing that?
So we go through a training facility on the north side of Chicago called Urban Pooch. And, you know, there's just a lot of training facilities in Chicago. But, you know, we did our research and we decided that this one was going to pretty much have what we were looking for. So we basically have a gym membership. We get to go as many times as we want per week. And, you know, maybe I'm a little too aggressive with the dog. But she really enjoys going in. Learning things and seeing other dogs and all of her favorite trainers. So,
all right.
Awesome. It's been fun.
Yes.
Well, we're happy she's here.
Yeah. She's got White Sox. So she's kind of like the WGN White Sox dog if you see her paws.
Right now, for those who are watching it on the TV, the dog looks almost dead in your arms. It's almost like the dog's like,
hang in there.
I am so done with this. Send me back to whatever it was I'm not allowed in.
My doggy daycare.
Yeah.
Because these people are
nuts. Here comes Andrea Darlos.
Oh, Andrea Darlos has to come in.
Yeah. Now there's a line. People on CLTV, pick up this shot. There's a line behind her right now
Marlene,
of people to come
been
in.
At the station for 52 years, and Sarah, who works in our marketing department, all behind me.
All right. I want everybody back to work. back to
this
work.
This is bad for productivity, but she's so sweet. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go back there again.
I want to remind people that Mr. Wirt is watching this on the closed caption upstairs, downstairs
oh, hi,
on 17.
Wirt. Yeah. Well, Larry, come on up and pet little Daisy. Yeah. Daisy's so cute. And she's really soft, too, her fur. Super, yeah. super duper soft.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, very well done.
We have to go back there again.
All right. On a completely different note, we're going to talk to Ben Bradley about some stuff that's going on. And we have the R. Kelly tapes, and Michael Avenatti is going to join us. R. Kelly, not that those R. Kelly tapes, the R. Kelly tape of him on with the CBS Morning Show, Gayle King. Right. He sat down and then stood up in the middle of the interview.
Her composure during that interview, remarkable.
Didn't you worry about her safety during that interview at some moment?
No, I felt like she knew this was her territory with her people around her, but it made me feel like how I felt watching it was if he kind of came off threatening, and I felt like if you're a 15-year-old girl, how would you deal with that? 16-year-old girl, 17, name the number.
Because he gets angry fast.
And that's what you heard of in that Lifetime documentary, that if when he gets angry and you're not doing what he wants, it gets violent pretty quickly, were the allegations against him. I don't think he did anything to help himself in terms of pushing those aside.
No.
Like maybe not the whole interview really didn't help him, in my view.
I think a rational argument could be made that he might have hurt himself with this interview.
I think very possibly true, even though that couldn't have been what he went into it thinking.
Proven the point, perhaps. All right.
Yeah.
When Ben's on, I will I'll reveal what was just told to me by a worker in his house.
Shocking. Yeah. Truly, truly shocking, because it was backed up by a listener who texted us yesterday, just very strangely so, someone not connected with the person who talked with you.
Yes. So we will talk about that in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Kim. Kim, can you actually get the news in with the puppy ran out of the traffic booth?
She's actually down here by my feet.
She's now under your feet. All right.
Yes.
Daisy. We have a show dog now.
Aw.
You have a grand dog. We have a show dog.
Yeah.
She's part corgi, too. So they've got those little legs. They're so cute.
She's really cute.
Now it's time for you.
Okay, we have a shocker in federal court today.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
I just can't hear this anymore. Oh, God. All right, Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom, where the R. Kelly story obviously is going to dominate the news here in Chicago. R. Kelly sat down with Gayle King and lost his mind defending himself. Now, here's what we learned. We had a texter yesterday.
This is shocking.
Who texted us this detail anonymously. And then I checked today with a guy who has done some work for me. He's a contractor. Did some work for me. I know he worked on R. Kelly's house back in, or townhouse, whatever it was, back in the mid-1990s. Mm-hmm. And he told me this story that really kind of, you know, stuck with me. And I think this is interesting. And when the texter said it yesterday, I thought, this must be true. He was working in this house doing installing electronic equipment. And there was, as he was leaving for the day, there was no handle on the door to leave the house.
So he couldn't get out. He had an alert.
Is this at the house down in Olympia Fields?
No, this is a different one.
He doesn't own it anymore, this one. But
he had to be buzzed out of the house.
Interesting. Well, we do know that he wasn't so good at paying child support. That's why he's in court today. $160,000 in arrears on that child support. Imagine the scene happening right now as R. Kelly prepares to leave that courtroom at the Daly Center.
Is he going to leave the courtroom?
We understand. Well, that's a good question. I guess it depends whether somebody from Bolingbrook coughed up the $160,000 for him this time, like they paid his bail. No, I that's a great question. You know, did he come up with the money? We don't have information on that. That court hearing just wrapping up as we speak.
This is at the Daly Center.
Yes.
But, you know, it's interesting because he didn't have the money, presumably, to pay for his own bond, right? That woman who owns the daycare center had to front the money, and so now it's even more money that he owes him back child support. You would think it logically falls that is he going to be able to come up with that money?
It's remarkable for a guy who's had the success he's had if he can't come up with that kind of money. I guess you could have argued that over the weekend that he was in the Cook County Jail, maybe it would have been a little difficult to get his hands on the cash. But you can, I checked. You can actually put your bond on a credit card if you're willing to pay the fee. And, of course, you have the...
The credit limit.
Yeah.
Black card,
yes.
Platinum card.
Will that cover it? Well,
yeah.
Hey, Ro, will your black card yes.
slap that
MX,
down?
Will that cover
it? Spends at least that much on show outings.
It will indeed, yes.
Okay. Learn that
we tested that. We tested
yes.
that. Yeah, that'll work.
That
okay.
is very
totally
true.
Yep.
That is very true. Yeah. But I suppose, you know, we'll have to see if he's got the financial wherewithal to do all of this. Mm-hmm. And then... You know, the lawyers, that becomes an interesting play here, because lawyers are in this because they think he's got money.
Well, you know,
maybe Mr.
Mind,
Greenberg
Steve,
wants to do this
say,
out
Steve
of the
Greenberg,
goodness of his heart.
There was a lot of speculation that Steve Greenberg, Joel Brodsky, and the others, when they represented Drew Peterson, they weren't getting paid. They were just doing it for the celebrity and all the business that generates. You know, and so one of the same lawyers, Steve Greenberg, now representing R. Kelly. And there is a considerable bump that you get when you, you know, become high profile.
Just
like
ask
that.
Mike Monaco. It's like every I'm surprised R. Kelly hasn't called him yet.
Well, he's been a little busy behind closed doors in Washington
yeah.
with his other client, Michael Cohen, another guy who may or may not be able to pay.
Yeah.
You know, everyone always thinks the lawyers have all the money, but based on what we're seeing lately, get the money up front.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, some big news coming out of the Dirksen Federal Building this afternoon involving your favorite South suburb, Harvey. And the mayor there, Eric Kellogg, he had two of his cousins charged today in an extortion plea in which the feds accused them of shaking down a strip club. And the feds outdid themselves in this criminal complaint.
How dare they shake down a strip club?
Is that $10 or
$20? Right. They got paid. They got paid. Well, at Harvey, it's fives.
Yeah,
they got paid just in fives.
You have to go to the private room for
yeah.
the shit.
And a lot of singles, too. Okay. It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, what's interesting is in this, gosh, nearly 100-page criminal complaint, the feds talk about and name Individual A as being Mayor Eric Kellogg, though Mayor Kellogg is not charged. There is some writing in here that says, at least according to the charges, that payments were supposedly being directed to Mayor Kellogg.
Hmm. All right.
First $3,000, then $6,000. Now, the criminal complaint doesn't specifically say Kellogg received the payments, but it said that as part of this extortion plea, it was said that the mayor is going to get this money and he's demanding this money to keep that strip club open. So WGN investigates the late, great Mark Sapelsa. You remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a little time down at a strip club in Harvey back in 2014. In fact,
whoa. We weren't
put that in context,
that.
Please.
Hold on.
Investigating. What were you thinking?
Oh, okay.
Yes, investigating.
Yeah.
He actually, Mark Sapelsa, has the honor.
They had a very strange incident in one of those strip clubs where...
just one?
Wasn't there a club? I don't want to be confusing this, but there were like fire code violations and stuff like that, right? Isn't that one of the things?
So there's a couple of strip clubs down there, I know, based on research. The specific strip club involved in today's charges is not identified, so I want to be careful. I can tell you, in 2014,
yes.
it was Club Assets that WGN Investigates reported on. And the scheme there, according to the report, was that it was rammed through the city council. Aldermen were told that this was going to be a sports bar, a family entertainment establishment.
We've heard that pitch before.
With 21 private booths.
Oh, that's weird.
And
is that for
liquor
karaoke?
License until 6 o'clock in the morning.
What?
Well, Mr. Sapelsa and team went in with a hidden camera, and they saw that...
I think her name was actually Aoki, but that's a separate thing. Yeah, go ahead. What?
The mayor had actually cast the tie-breaking vote to give that liquor license or to give the license to Club Assets back then. After Mr. Sapelsa's report, the next day, miraculously, the city of Harvey got religion, shut down that particular strip club. But as we've seen from today's charges, that industry has continued to flourish down there. And it's worth noting that the criminal complaints today detail conduct that has allegedly happened, gosh, for almost a decade.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is deep.
Hard to believe. Again, watch your mouth. All right, thank you very much,
cynical?
Ben.
Are you cynical? I mean, I'm here presenting evidence that the United States government
Yeah.
Has investigated, and you're making like jokes like you're a 6-year-old.
That's never happened on this program before.
No.
That is very strange.
I'm sorry,
Mark
Ben.
Mark this day down.
I'm sorry,
I'm
Ben.
Calling Sapelsa in his mountain cave, wherever he is, and telling him that you did not respect his cutting-edge reporting from 2014.
Tell Sapelsa to call us. We'd like to talk to him.
I'm sorry. I must take strip clubs in Harvey very seriously. They're incredible. They're a boon to business. This is, you know, when the president talks about jobs, this is what he's talking about. Because in every single definition of the word, that's what happens in Harvey. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Thanks, Ben. By the way, tons of listeners are reminding you, Ro, after you mentioned another strip club on the air yesterday, Weasels in Wisconsin,
yes,
that it has burned down, it is closed, and everyone wants you to know that.
Yes. Thank you.
Know your audience, Ro. You're killing it, buddy. And have you been to Sheboygan?
Well, Weasels had the distinction of, like, in a snowmobile weekend, you'd go, everybody wear their snowmobile suits in there, and you couldn't sit down, because, you know, in strip clubs, the chairs are very small. And then you're sitting there in your suit.
Like a one-piece?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're unzipping, and then everything smells like gasoline in the strip club. It's very weird.
It's better than some of the other smells.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Ben, go see your news director. She's calling right now. I'd like to see you in the office. Thank you, sir. Let's check in. Speaking of news, Kim Gordon's got it. Brought to us by Tortoise Supper Club. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGNR. I just heard the breaking news that R. Kelly taken away in handcuffs in the courtroom at the Daily Center. And he is, and again, now remember what he was at the Daily Center today because he still owes $160,000 in back child support.
Right. So this is unrelated to the other criminal charges that he's facing.
Right. So that is really, that's kind of the big part of the problem here. Let's, I want to play a little bit of the Gayle King stuff. As if you did not see this morning, or you haven't seen it on the interwebs, or your phone hasn't been playing it for you, I think it is worth, and even if it has, I think it's worth kind of going back through some of this, because it's absolutely crazy. He lost his mind.
He totally did.
In the middle of the interview.
He lost it so much that his publicist had to come over, put a hand on his shoulder, and try to calm him down.
And then they started to powder him. Trying to powder his makeup on his face to try to, you know, like keep him in his chair, because he jumped up and he was screaming and yelling and waving around, and there was and Gayle King just sat there.
She was calm, cool, collected, and she just was ultimate in composure with like firing facts his way, asking the questions that all of us would have wanted to know the answer to. I give her a ton of credit the way she handled that.
All right, so here's where he starts to lose it.
Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. What? Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
And now he's up, and you hear her, Robert,
super calm.
Trying to keep him calm.
Again, all I can think about there is imagine being a 15-year-old girl or a 16-year-old girl exposed to him, and he loses it like that.
I came here for them to hear me talk.
But
I need help.
What kind of help?
This is the kind of help I need.
Yes, what kind of help?
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart. Because my heart is so big, people betray me, and I keep forgiving them.
Wow. He needs help. He needs our sympathy. He's the one. It's just his big heart that's the problem, is what we heard there.
Right. But it gets creepier to the point where he almost admits to what's going on here. Listen to this.
The fact that they're much younger than you.
I don't look at much younger than me. I just look at legal. I just look at you're you, I'm me. Now, I don't know if you're married. I don't know. I don't know if you had a relationship. I don't know what you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But one might be older than the other. Mm-hmm. One might be younger than the other. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I just look at legal. Okay? There are older men that like younger women.
Is that
true? There are younger women that like older men.
Are you an older man that likes younger women?
I'm an older man that love all women.
Okay.
I mean, okay, if that's right on the edge. But then he says,
why would you take your daughter? If I were going to take my daughter and she's 19 years old to a 49-year-old icon, whatever, celebrity or R. Kelly concert or whoever it is, I'm not going to put her on the stage and leave her. I'm going to take her to the concert. Their father is more into my music and know about my music than they do.
You're saying the parents handed their daughters, Azurelle and Jocelyn, over to you? Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Are the cameras still going?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't he just saying that the parents said it was okay, so it must have been okay?
He kind of does say that there. That's what you hear when you say, well, they just kind of sold them to me. And so, in other words, they were yours? Were they your property then? Is that what we're supposed to believe from that? There's a point in this, when I saw the interview this morning, where I stopped listening to what he had to say, and I started just trying to see how it made me feel. And the way he used rage to sort of try to shut down questioning, the way he acted, I think just left me with the impression that this is a guy who's got real troubles.
Ryan Burrow is at the Daily Center right now for us. Ryan, what can you tell us about what just happened there?
Well, we know that R. Kelly was taken into custody after his court appearance. Remember, he had to make that $160,000+ payment that a judge set back in February, a child support payment. He did not make that payment, and he did not speak to us on his way into the courtroom. We have not seen him out of the courtroom. He was apparently led away by deputies, his hands behind his back. He was eventually cuffed. We've got a lot of action going on. My apologies. There's a guy jarring back and forth with the media back here, so I apologize if anything slips out over the air, but we haven't heard anything from his attorneys right now, we'll see in the next few moments if someone comes out and speaks.
What is that guy saying to the media right now?
No, he wants to stand in the hallway and watch R. Kelly, and security's trying to move him away.
Oh,
Ryan, as part of his, I know he's got a large group with him. It looked like security with R. Kelly today. Were there any of the two young women who are living with him? Were they present in court today that you could tell?
You know, I did not see them. I saw Mr. Greenberg, his criminal attorney, with him as he came up. Greenberg was the one who said before this court hearing that he did not have the money to make that payment today. So we'll see if he comes to speak. You know, this is kind of, it's separate, but it's kind of all tied together. You know, these two cases, the criminal case as well as this civil case, because obviously, you know, he had to put up the $100,000 just to get out in the criminal case, and now he owes $161,000 a week and a half later, and you know, obviously he couldn't make that payment. So these two cases are kind of tied together. And Greenberg isn't really necessarily attached to this one, but he's obviously here with
him. He's with him, representing him at the moment. All right. We'll check back in with you in a few minutes. Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
Ryan Burrows at Daily Center for us right now as R. Kelly's been taken into custody on an unrelated case on the failure to pay child support, which is why he was in the civil courts there at the Daily Center today. Mm-hmm. But they put him into custody because he's $160,000 in arrears on that.
Right. So. And we remember it was a daycare center owner who bailed him out the last time. So this is an even higher number than that. You wonder, you know, what for a guy who's made this much money over his lifetime, it feels
how much do you think he's
strange.
Made in his lifetime?
Lifetime.
To be tens of millions.
Now.
I mean, it's based on his... I mean, you know, in the music industry, you have to be very careful about that because you don't know who actually owned the publishing or who... If early on in his career, he signed away some of his rights because that can happen to a lot of artists. But he's certainly... I think he sold 40 million records. And that's going to pay you something. And you could sell... And if he has the rights to it, if he hasn't already done it, he can sell the publishing and the music rights. Now, it's a little harder now to have value with that when it's associated with him. But, you know, maybe that's domestic versus international. You got to remember something. It's not what you sell necessarily in the United States. Music like R. Kelly's is international.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of, you know, that I Think I Could Fly.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's one of the great anthems of the 1990s. I Believe I Can Fly. I think I can fly out of this courtroom.
Well, that's what his attorney, Steve Greenberg, said during the bond hearing. He said, well, unlike his song, R. Kelly can't fly. There's a little humor, maybe at the wrong moment, but referencing that very famous song of his.
Not a time for the lawyers to be jokesters.
I wouldn't, not given the subject matter of what they're dealing with here.
Michael Avenatti is scheduled to talk to us right after this, but let's right now check in with Kim in the newsroom. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
As we've been talking about, R. Kelly headed back to jail.
And traffic being brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet. All right, so we're talking about R. Kelly and his outburst yesterday. He sat down yesterday, but the outburst was played this morning on the CBS Morning News. Gail King did the interview here in Chicago with R. Kelly. She also sat down in the exact same room with two of R. Kelly's known associates, let's say. I mean, girlfriends, I don't know what to call them.
He calls them girlfriends. He says they're all in a relationship, the three of them.
And that one of them, her name is Israel Kelly Cleary. Israel Clary.
And Jocelyn Savage.
And Israel Clary's parents are the ones who are like saying, hey, come on, there's something going on here. They're the ones who are coming back out of this. And Israel Clary was very clear to say that she doesn't believe her parents when she sat down with Gil King. Listen to this.
Tell me, Israel, why you're crying. Tell me.
I'm crying because you guys don't know the truth. You guys believe in some f***ing facade that our parents are saying. This is all lies for money. I mean, if you can't see that, you're ignorant and you're stupid.
She referring to her parents there as ignorant and stupid.
Yeah, she's saying, you know, she's been cut off from, the parents say they've been cut off from all contact with her and that that's not right. She's trying to make the case there that it's by choice.
And Israel Clary is how old?
17 when they first got together. Now she's 21.
Okay. All right. Very interesting problem that we have here.
It is. And there are all these allegations of money. And you heard earlier that R. Kelly was saying that, well, look, they sold their daughter to me. In other words, trying to say that they had received some sort of payments. The family has come forward and given a news conference and said, we haven't received any money. He may be talking about some of these other folks who have reportedly received some sort of settlements from R. Kelly, but not us. It's not. There's no financial motivation here. We just want our daughter back.
It is. It's just. It's insanity.
It is.
There's no other way to put this.
It is.
Because what we are experiencing here, and we've been doing this for years with R. Kelly.
Absolutely. I covered the first case in 2002 when we heard about this videotape, and you know, it felt so wrong back then. You know, when you interviewed people and then suddenly people who knew things about it backed away and were not findable and were not talking. And of course, we know eventually when it went to trial years later in 2008 that the young woman who was allegedly at the center of that videotape didn't come forward, and that was a big piece about why he was acquitted on all charges. But then these new cases, he keeps talking about double jeopardy. You can't double jeopardy me. You can't double jeopardy me. Well, these new cases have nothing to do with that. These are different, distinct, separate cases. So it's not double jeopardy if you allegedly commit another crime. Obviously, that can be brought to court, which is what he's seeing happen right now with these new charges.
Well, these new criminal charges, the charges from today.
Not today. Today is the child support situation, but the new serious criminal charges against him abusing young girls who were not of age and not of the age that they could consent. Two of those cases are here in Chicago, I should say, and one of them is out of Olympia Fields. One of the girls is of age and the others are not.
Think R. Kelly's got a reverse mortgage yet on his house in Vernon Hills? Or Olympia Fields?
I think that was quite a shocker to a lot of people that he couldn't post that $100,000 bail initially, and now this child support issue. And, you know, given the amount of money that people would presume that he has made in this successful recording career, and it just that he's where he is now. I think the biggest thing that stood out, though, in the Gail King interview, back to that, was just the rage, how he wanted to, it seemed like he wanted to shut down the questioning, so he decided that that would be a good way to do it, to go, to use his rage to shut it down, because she was being very calm and asking questions based on facts, Right. At some point, he wasn't having it. He was done with that.
It's an excellent point. Let's talk about, I want to play this one more time, where he seems to blame the parents here, which is just amazing to me.
What kind of love is it that keeps these young women away from their families? Their families are saying, I'm talking right now about Jocelyn and Azurel.
Because you know, I'm going to answer your question.
What kind of love is that?
What kind of father, what kind of mother will sell their daughter to a man?
Who did that?
How come it was okay for me to see them until they wasn't getting no money from it?
So doesn't that sort of indicate to us that he was paying the parents for the access to the children? And then what he's saying there is that once he stopped paying the parents, then they got mad.
Yeah, I don't know how you can say how they sold their daughters to me.
And then what is...
Like, it's property that you've transferred?
Right. And does that mean that he has the right to... And then let's follow up with the next one there, too, because it gets even weirder.
Why would you take your daughter... If I'm going to take my daughter, and she's 19 years old, to a 49-year-old icon, whatever, celebrity, or R. Kelly concert, or whoever it is, I'm not going to put her on the stage and leave her. I'm going to take her to the concert. Their father is more into my music and know about my music than they do.
You're saying the parents handed their daughters, Azurel and Jocelyn, over to you? Is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Are the cameras still going?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is he asking the cameras still going for good or for bad there?
I know.
It can go either way. Right,
exactly.
All right, Stephen Avenatti was Michael Avenatti. Maybe that's why we called the wrong Avenatti. Michael Avenatti was supposed to join us in this segment. We talked to him yesterday, and he was supposed to join us again today to talk about this. Maybe we'll get to him a little bit later on the show, but I want to play what he said to us yesterday afternoon.
Look, he may be a very accomplished singer and musical artist, but he doesn't know anything about the law, because that's not how double jeopardy works. He was not charged with the same acts or crimes stemming from the same acts back in 2002, and the trial was in 2008. He doesn't understand how double jeopardy works. He just simply doesn't understand it. He also thinks that somehow, because this supposedly took place quite a long time ago, that he cannot face these charges. I mean, this man is dead to rights. We've got him and his enabler dead to rights, and he's going to die in a prison, as he rightfully should.
Whoa.
All right.
And Avenatti is the one who brought forth this new videotape that police now have and prosecutors have.
Right. People are wondering, what is he all about in this?
Right.
That's the question.
And he's also representing the families of some of the women.
Right. I believe the Clary family.
Yeah.
Isn't that how he's involved in this in the first place?
Yes.
Because the Clarys are the ones that that are like, we want to have access to our child again. And now R. Kelly is making the point that you could, but you'd have to keep paying. I mean, that's
how you heard that one.
It's sort of like, you could, if you accepted the money, you could have access.
Although I'm interested to see more of the interview that Gayle King does with her, Azurel Clary, because in that little clip we played just earlier, she's making the case that this is my decision. This is what I want.
All right. We have got the WGN news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and Kim Gordon with the latest right after these short messages. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling is with us. And we set a record, Tom. Tom?
Yes.
Tom?
And
yes.
It's been certified, too. I guess they need to do these things, right? They went back and said the 38 degrees below zero is a record.
Oh, did they confirm that?
They did.
At Mount Carroll.
Carroll, during the middle of the nadir of the polar vortex.
That's true. That's true. And that's an all-time statewide low. And I suspect
that's
gotta
be in the lower 48. That's got to be among the lowest, right?
It's pretty chilly. Yeah, there have been.
I guess at the top of mountains somewhere, it might have gotten a little.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure, like up in Montana or something like that. You know, because that stuff comes down pure and unadulterated. I would imagine even North Dakota and northern Minnesota have seen some lower temperatures.
Yeah.
I'll have to check on that for you.
Right. For Illinois, that's
very
crazy cold.
Very cool.
So this was the State Climate Extremes Committee. They put out their memo today, and they said this is the deal.
Tom, you know anybody over there?
You got a guy?
You know what? Dr. Jim Angel, now retired, our state climatologist, commented at the time that, you know, this was Weather Service equipment because, you know, always before they certify these records, they check the equipment involved, how it was placed, is it properly exposed, and all the rest of this kind of stuff. So, you know, that's quite a procedure they go through, but I'll bet Jim was still a part of that. And I know at the time he said, look, it's Weather Service co-op equipment there, so it stood a pretty good chance of being verified.
Right. So they had the National Weather Service. You've got the folks out of Davenport involved. The Central Region Cooperative Observer.
They're ringing up everybody.
Yep. Illinois State Climate Office.
They probably even checked with Roe on that.
Yeah, know.
They did not.
You had to get a call.
They did
Tom.
Not, they did not make a call to me, and I'm desperately upset about that.
This is a real oversight. I think maybe we better go back to the drawing board on this one. You know.
They wanted to get freaked out.
I've got to tell you something. You guys popped that news on me. I had not heard that today. I was so busy.
You get right on that, Tom.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You cover me here.
Right. And we're still done with winter, too, even though going back to negative 36 doesn't make us feel any better about what we're dealing with right now.
Well, it's day 11 consecutively below normal. And, you know, still these winds. Boy, these winds have been persistent. And by the way, that was accurately predicted. But you know something? We've got another big storm. This is the thing that lambasted California. You know, they had lightning displays around Los Angeles, which is really unusual. But they had 2,200 cloud-to-ground lightning strikes out there in 5 hours' time, which is strange enough in any time of the year in California, but in February in particular. And, you know, it's interesting, these new weather satellites we have lightning detection gear on them. So we had been watching the lightning coming in with this storm out west. It was another one of these, you know, Pineapple Express atmospheric river storms, what they're calling them these days. And at any rate, that's the storm that's going to jump the mountains, redevelop, spin up in the plains. Looks like it has another blizzard headed for the upper Midwest, another severe weather outbreak.
What's the total... Oh, you know, I ask these questions, then you freak out.
Yeah.
But put Snyder on this right now, because he's sitting there doing nothing. What is the total...
Wait a minute. Now, you're suggesting Bill Snyder is doing nothing.
Doing nothing.
Here?
Can you give me the snow totals?
How do you feel about it? He's just shaking his head.
He knows.
He's offended to the core of his being.
Yeah, but he knows I'm right. Yeah.
Rose says he knows you're right. You know he's right.
Yeah. So, I'd like to know, you know, I'm just trying to think of, like, where...
Thanks for manhandling my staff.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Way to boost morale over there.
Don't
worry about it. They're fine, I know. So,
Yes.
The snow total for, like, northern Wisconsin, places where Chicagoans go, like, in the summer. Northern Michigan, northern Wisconsin. Do you know what the snow totals so far this year have been?
Yes. Yes, they, in places, are moving up over 200 inches. By the Keweenaw Peninsula. In fact, over close to 300. And we were just looking at snow tallies.
Close to 300 where?
Inches. That'd be up in the Keweenaw Peninsula up by Houghton Lake in Houghton. That's that little jut of land that goes out of the Upper Peninsula into Lake Superior.
Right. And then what, like down in
Marquette, for instance, has had, we ran these. We pulled these up yesterday. I pulled them up as we're talking. But I know Marquette is up over 200 inches.
Wow.
And, the pictures that are coming out of there are amazing. And it looks like we're going to dump another load of snow on them this weekend. And it may be the second weekend in a row that we've had a severe weather outbreak. You know, after that tragedy down in Alabama.
Right.
This thing runs the risk of producing severe weather in the deep south all the way up perhaps into southern Illinois and Indiana on Saturday night. We might get a clap of thunder out of that, too.
And that's not, now that's going to be a rain event for us.
Yes.
And it's going to be warm on Saturday. Tomorrow,
well, it'll be, the wind will come off the lake during the day. So that probably will keep most of the day in the 30s. And then what will happen is, as happened with this last storm, there'll be, the warm air sector will get up here after dark. So the highest temperature on Saturday will no doubt be at night. And we may get up to the mid to upper 40s for a brief period. And then this backwash will come in. This thing is lined up with the jet. So we've got another, this looks like another one of these 50 mile per hour plus wind gust situations by morning Sunday and during the day. It's a classic high wind setup. And there's another storm, not unlike it, coming in toward Tuesday, Wednesday next week. That one could be could pump us up, though, into the 50s by Wednesday.
But rain, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
No snow.
All right.
I mean, we may get a rain or snow shower on the backside of this thing Sunday, you know, in the backwash, but it wouldn't be a big deal.
Because after the, after the 15th of March, you know, you do every once in a while you get a rando.
Sure.
That hits.
Oh, we've had some doozies.
Yeah, we've had a couple of April randos. We had we had a April Fool's Day one. Mm-hmm.
What did you call them? April randos?
Randos, like random, just like a random storm.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Randos.
Yeah, randos.
Is that not a meteorological term?
No, I'm writing this down.
You
know,
you could use that.
You know, the kids use that term, but not for snow.
I see.
And right, Kev? Is that right? Is that
right?
Different context for the rando?
Yeah.
You know, Anna, it's wonderful to have these wordsmiths. I have Micah Mateer on the news set with me.
Uh-huh.
She's the adjective producer. And
she's
then I've
great.
Got Mr. Khan here, when he's not offending my staff, coming up with
maybe a
terminology.
Maybe a noun or a verb every once in a while.
How do you know that, Ro? Who have you heard say
rando?
Rando.
Yeah, I don't
weekend.
Know what you're talking about.
I like that.
Who's asking?
It's very clever.
Exactly. Yeah, it's clever. All right. So I remember there was a measurable snowfall in, I think it was like the beginning of April.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1970s. I remember it really well because it was like a...
Those are windshield wiper breakers.
Yeah.
I mean, those
crazy.
Are real heavy things.
And I think we had one, too, at the end of April in the 1970s.
Why are you
as
talking
well?
About this, Ro, after
well,
such a brutally cold
you know
winter?
What? I got it, because this I almost
it
said
would,
Ro, two
it
words.
Would not be the end of April in the city. Once we get through mid-April, we're done with it in the city, but there have been snows outside of that time frame.
No,
just south of here in parts of Indiana and all, and I'm sure we'll hear from folks who have recollections of some of those.
This godforsaken winter.
I know.
I know it's only really been half the winter that's been bad.
Yeah.
But it has. Tom, I was thinking about this on the drive-in today. I want to ask you, because you're the only person that I can ask that actually has the authority to say this is okay.
Yeah.
You're not some rando weather guy, right?
No.
You are.
Hopefully
you,
not.
No, you're
I
not.
I try not to be.
No,
anyway.
You're not. Here's the question.
Yes.
Can I now officially call this a brutal winter?
No.
No,
you know what? If you look at the winter season, we were a half a degree above normal, December, January, February combined, and we were about a half an inch of snow above normal. The reason it seems so brutal is because there was such a jarring turnaround. It started with that polar outbreak in late January, then it kind of backed off, and then bam, we've gone back into it again. And there may be a third, not nearly as intense cold spell that hits later next week. Now, there are some signs after that maybe we'll get out of this. But, boy, this has been persistent. And it's also been
tough. Emotionally. Can I say it's been emotionally brutal?
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you another thing, too. If you're looking at, like, the snows in the upper Midwest, wow, it's been a while since they've had a winter like that in the North Woods.
I need to get a little bit of... Because, you know, now you're saying we're going to get another... blow-by here of snow tomorrow night into Friday.
Little light thing, half an inch to an inch, perhaps.
But that happened to us tonight. That happened Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. No, a Monday night into Tuesday night. And it blew up the morning rush yesterday.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Because it gets real, like at a dusting, it gets super slick.
Well, and not only that, because we've had a paucity of snow, a lack of snow, there aren't residual chemicals down, you know? So,
That's true.
You know, that's another thing too.
I have to say though, the river leading into like at the lake. The river has got this weird, almost like the cave drawings, right, from France.
Yes.
It's got like they look like dinosaurs and you know, weird prehistoric chickens of ice flows. If you look at the the your camera. You could probably, it's probably on one of your camera feeds.
You know what? People have been sending pictures of these amazing ice formations up and down the lakefront, all over the place. No question about it. This is, and I, you know, maybe it has to do with the fact we've had so much wind, you know, in recent weeks.
It's been blowing the stuff, the surface water around, right?
Exactly.
The surface ice.
Maybe that could be something. You know, you get the so-called pancake ice that sits out there. These little oval or circular shaped.
That's exactly what it is. It's but this thing looks like Dino from the Flintstones.
Dino the
that's
Dinosaur.
Sitting right in front of me. And then we got a couple other ones here that just look like something I saw once in a test. The doctor showed it to me afterwards.
Right.
I don't know where
Rorschach.
I don't know where you got. No, this is one where like a medical where the guy goes, I don't know where you got this, but this is bad.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to give you a shot for this right now.
I think it is kind of a test to decide what you see in the ice formations out there, Ro.
Perhaps. Well,
that's
it's interesting.
That's a good
cartoon
idea.
Oh, actually, he's more of a roadrunner. Looks more like the roadrunner to me, actually. So that's everything I know I learned from cartoons because my parents, as a child, put me in front of a television, turned it on, and left for months at a time.
Oh. But see, look.
Well, you're a very well-informed individual, so see.
Everything I learned from television.
Yeah.
Right. And now they learn from those little smart speakers. Those raise your children now. You know, they just ask them all the questions and they tell them, you know.
When's mommy?
To know.
Hey, Alexa, when's mommy coming home?
Right. What's the weather? What temperatures are going to be? What should I wear for school? What time should I get up? Set an alarm.
Hey, that's interesting. If I want to get your, do you do a weather forecast for smart speakers? Do you do one for Amazon?
Amazon, no.
Do you do one for any of them?
Well, you know what? We have we do put out forecasts for handheld devices, you know, and stuff like that. And actually, our digital people have contracted for some of that stuff that goes on our website or, you know, the handheld platforms.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
The smart speaker platforms. Because the smart speaker, because when you ask it, it wants to give you an answer. And I just wonder if there's a way to, you know, talk to Tom Skilling.
We wish there
Tom,
was.
Tom, if there wasn't, excuse me, let me just impersonate my agent for a moment. Tom, darling sweetheart, listen, Bobby, you apparently have not been properly compensated for this. Let me write you a contract with Amazon or any of the rest of them. I could work this out for you right now. All I need is 42%.
You know, it's hard to keep track of all these platforms anymore. There's so many that pop up and have developed.
Hey, easy. That's our
future.
We
love them.
Oh,
yeah.
I know it is. It is, absolutely. Well, you know, we just got done doing a podcast that we put up online. I sat down with Steve Kahn and Frank Wachowski. We were talking about the blizzard of 79 and that winter. I mean, it was just an amazing winter. Snowstorms every 2 weeks. We had 90 inches of snow here. They had 110 up in some of the far northwest suburbs. It was barbaric, and every one of those cold spells was followed by a chill, the likes of which we've only rarely seen in the last two decades, you know, since the 85 and 82 bitter cold spells. And we've had a couple since then, too. But that was, that decade of the 70s was horrendous. Mm. It really was.
Yeah.
It's without parallel.
But, so how long is the podcast?
It's about an hour.
It's about an hour.
About half an hour to an hour, yeah. And apparently what they're going to do is put it up on the Tribune television sites up in Milwaukee and Cleveland.
Is this
a
video cast or podcast?
It's a podcast.
It's a regular radio, audio. Audio only.
It's audio.
Oh,
yes.
And
all the cool kids are doing the podcast now, Tom, so you got to get on board.
It is so funny. Yeah. You see people like on cable news and stuff, they go, well, the host of the podcast, and you're like, we talk to millions of people a week, and we between digital and broadcast now, which is really an interesting thing that's happened to
it
us.
It is.
Is that the, you know, the broadcast numbers are about equal to the number of people that listen to us live digitally.
Yeah.
Right.
It's remarkable how many people use them.
It's crazy.
It is amazing.
When you stop, and it's not.
It's a different world.
It's not all accounted for in the same numbers either. Yeah. It's fascinating. They add all these things up. It's a bigger audience now than perhaps I've ever encountered in my, you know, couple decades of doing this.
Yeah,
that says something.
Because when you add up everybody, the problem with this, though, is that you get a guy who's got a podcast who's got 10 people ever heard it. Mm. But he's got a podcast. That's very cool. That's very important.
Yeah.
You're like, what about radio?
No. good old terrestrial over-the-air radio.
Or even if you want to listen, if you want to be, you know, some rando listener, you can also get it on the, you know, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it. You can get it all, a million different places. Just ask whatever it is. Just put in WGN radio, and they'll find the live stream for you.
Yeah, I'm amazed when I tell people what I do that are like my age, and they're like, wait, so you like talk into the radio from three? I'm like, it's a radio show. You've never heard of a radio show? And they're like, oh my God, did you hear so and so's podcast? I'm like, yeah, I heard it. It was boring. Try live radio.
Right. Because at live radio, we can't go back and edit it when we blank it up.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We blank it up live.
Yeah,
and you get to hear it.
All the blanks,
right? And then sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, and the next thing you know, I'm filling out paperwork after the show.
I know.
They're not filling out paperwork after some
podcast. They don't do that.
Where they're sitting around going,
So anyway, so do you believe in terms of the Dijon mustard? Do you like the country style or more the smooth Dijon mustard? This is the Dijon podcast. Welcome.
Well, it's opened the world to narrowcasting now, you know?
That's the right word
for
it.
Some of them, it's just an endless like cycle of nothingness. I'm like, are you going to get to the point?
Seedless watermelon. I'd like to discuss that with you for the next hour. How do they get the seeds out of it? But that's really not important. It's better for your digestion to have a few seeds. You're like, shut up! Shut up!
But I would listen to a Tom Skilling podcast for sure.
Stuff like that.
It's important.
Well, it was amazing.
Such an interesting, and it's a forum in which we can discuss it without time limitation, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of fun. But there's so much to say about it. Mm-hmm. You know,
Look at us right now. I mean, people don't even realize. People started when Tom started here. We've already been talking for the length of the average podcast, right?
Yeah.
That is, we've been talking now for about 17, 18 minutes uninterrupted with Tom. And by the way, that's a problem for our managers right now who have their arms crossed in front of them outside the window because we got to go. But the point is that we...
Yeah. But it's Tom.
That's
you're getting
that's
the
what
rap,
this is.
Are you?
We do this. Yeah, we are. Yeah. We do this all the time. We do this every day, 4 freaking hours a day.
I know.
And there's some guy with a podcast about seedless watermelon that somehow gets on CNN to talk about Donald Trump.
I know. Right, I gotta
go.
Well, you know what? Look, the audience is still here. You know,
audio is the hottest it has ever been.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Just a bunch of randos are doing it. Thank you. See what I did?
Good.
There?
You worked that word
in
again.
Back in.
Word of the day, people. Yes. Rando.
Yep. Rando. Yeah.
Use it at home with your kids. Yeah. Hey, kids, listen, I learned this new word today, rando.
I met a rando at work. What? What about mom?
Oh, gosh. You guys.
I gotta go. Thank you, Tom.
All right, guys.
Tom, I'm sorry.
See you guys.
I'm sorry,
Tom.
Bye, Anna.
Bye.
You're always fun.
This is very inappropriate in front of Tom.
So you look mom.
Oh, mom. Oh, God. Dad met a rando.
Mom's like, I'm sorry. A what?
Okay. Listen, Kim, what's going on at the bottom of the hour news?
A beloved game show host has a tough fight ahead.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
All right, Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, and then the shocking story in the courts about Aaron Schock. See what I did there?
Absolutely. See, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Aaron Schock not going to... Even though he redecorated his office in the style of Downton Abbey, there will be no criminal penalty to speak of. We'll talk about that with our own legal analyst who's not Mike Monaco. We only have one other one. And we'll have people guess who he is coming up right after. Brim Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Pat Brady, our legal analyst 2.0, is our first string legal analyst, Mr. Mike Monaco.
He's busy.
Is just blew past the cameras in Washington with Michael Cohen, his fine client.
We were all concerned because he didn't have his really lovely scarf on, that purple, beautiful scarf he wears every day.
I want to call him and tell him, hey.
Don't leave that anywhere.
Jeff, call him and tell him that he left his scarf in the secret hearing room at the Capitol.
Don't trust any of those guys.
Yeah. He left something behind so he can go back and listen to what the senators are all saying about his client.
I knew it.
we were just saying to Pat Brady, who is former, I mean, Pat's done everything,
mm-hmm.
but Pat is a former assistant United States attorney, and he also ran the Republican Party of the state of Illinois. Congratulations on that. Did a real good job.
We got him right where we want him, Ro.
Yep. I would like to say that this is, we were just talking about this. This is like, the people on this program, we've never had as much of a front row, pardon the expression, no relation, seat to history as it's unfolding on the state level, on the federal level, on the local level. It's happening right in front of our eyes.
Well, Monica, you flipped it on. I'm like, I had to do a double take. I go, there's Monica. And then there's Monica for like the next 8 hours.
I know.
Over Michael Cohen's shoulder the entire time.
How did he keep a straight face, though, the whole time?
Well, a couple times he nodded off. I think that helped him.
And then Ro texted him and said, wake up, wake up.
I was texting him and watching him read his phone, which I felt so powerful at that moment. I don't know why. But there was a woman that was sitting behind them that was like, as you pointed out,
distracting as
like
heck.
A human emoji. It was almost like for the hearing impaired. She was expressing, you know how the hearing impaired people now, they express like emotion while they're doing
it? Yes.
Yeah, they're doing sign language. That's what she was doing, except she wasn't doing sign language. She was like, oh my!
Yeah. It was like over exaggerated, kind of like, oh, that's not true. No, no, no.
No. Oh my. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, sad, sad face. Oh, happy. Oh, that was a funny
That's right.
One. Yeah. Yay.
I was like, what is up with her?
I don't know. Maybe that. I never asked Mike this. We'll have to ask him. Did they pay that woman to sit there and distract us and lead us along emotionally? All right. Let's talk about Aaron Schock. Because this, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people.
It's quite the shock.
See what we did there?
You know, you're the first one to do that today.
Yeah, I know. Right.
So Aaron Schock, remember, he was a congressman from downstate Illinois.
Peoria, yep.
And he was a guy that's all downstate does, Pat. I know you're you know,
from he knows the lines.
Rockford's downstate to you, Ro.
Yes, that's true.
Pat knows all the gerrymandered lines. He's like, all right.
Yeah. Rockford to me is still south of I-80, even though it's 100 miles north. I want to know how this happened, because this case, Aaron Schock had to leave Congress because the federal government indicted him for not properly accounting for campaign funds.
Ooh, I think it was more stealing campaign funds. That was the charge.
Not properly account. Well, now they're not charging him.
He
redecorated his office.
Yeah, it was reimbursements for travel and other things.
Right. And some pretty luxurious things.
Right. He had a charter flight to the Bears game. He had some tickets that he resold, some sports tickets.
Yeah. If you read the indictment, listen, Aaron's a friend. I've known him a long time. When he read the indictment, you didn't really particularly care for Aaron Schock, if you believe the indictment, because it was so excessive in the abuses that he was charged with.
Did you ever work out with him?
Hey, he looked like you before I started working out with him.
Yeah, let me just thank you very much.
Before and after.
He was a gym rat. He was a guy in the House gym. They have a very nice gym at the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
And he and Kinzinger are in there pumping iron at like, 5:30 in the morning. Well, Kinzinger's more like 9:30 in the morning, but
I was cutting through the airport once, and I look to the right in that NBC store, and I see a magazine, and then I see our congressman with his shirt off.
Yes.
On the front, so I call up our friend Adam Kinzinger, who is not
related.
And I go, please
don't. But also known to go shirtless.
He does go shirtless, but for other reasons.
Yeah,
he goes shirtless with a bandolier around his chest, shooting guns
reasons.
And stuff. Yeah, but the Aaron Schock thing always kind of surprised everybody. It was like on Men's Health magazine or something, right? Or Hot Congressman or so. What was the name of the magazine?
I think it was Men's Health.
Yeah. Was it Men's Health?
The guy he's in phenomenal shape. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then his Instagram page was very lavish, where it showed that he did a lot of fun things with celebrities, and he was at backstage at concerts, and he had this like rich kid of Instagram type image.
Yeah, surfing in Hawaii, and the thing that drew the attention to it was the Downton Abbey designed office.
Mm-hmm. But, but all of it seems to amount to nothing now. No criminal convictions against him. His campaign has a misdemeanor, and they've got to pay some money back. But
they charged him with 24 counts, some serious stuff. They said it was a bad indictment. And what happened, it was charged in the Central District of Illinois, which is not the Northern District of Illinois, Chicago, which is Springfield. It was dragging on, and then there became allegations of bad conduct by the judge who was taken off the case, not related to the case, but related to some other conversations he had with the U.S. Attorney's Office. Then the Justice Department came in, filed a motion to take the Central District off the case, and the allegations in that among other things, in the complaint where they did that, were that they made statements, the prosecutors in Springfield, to the grand jury about the fact that Aaron Schock, the defendant in this case, would never testify, which is kind of prosecution 101. You never comment on the fact that a defendant doesn't have to testify. I mean, that's how you first take it to the prosecutor's office, to say never say that. So they were removed, and it came up here, and it got up here. I think the people that really do this for a living figured out that they didn't have a very good case. I don't know why or what happened with the evidence, but then today they must have had nothing because they knocked it down to a misdemeanor.
Well, Aaron Schock said that. He said this outcome today validates that there should never have been a case to begin with. Do you agree with that? He says 4 years later, millions of dollars, we come down to this.
No, I don't. Not from reading the indictment. I think it was. I think, and this happens not.
The indictment was put together by the investigators in Washington, who put the evidence in.
This is Central District of.
But the evidence was all given. I mean, this is FBI and whoever else was doing this. Investigators giving them all the detail here.
Yeah, right? Well, there's a FBI. I'm sure there was one in Springfield, but the U.S. attorneys in Springfield are the ones ultimately responsible for charging it and how it is charged. I think this is one of those cases. It happened to Ted Stevens, who was probably charged wrongly in some other cases. In fact, it happened when I was there once, a case in Michigan. This was bad conduct by the prosecutors, it appears. And that's what I think led to a lot of this. Now, maybe there's more to it. There's more evidence that disappeared. The evidence wasn't there to begin with. But there were allegations in these motions that the Schock team filed about some of the questions they were asking Aaron Schock that were completely inappropriate. And at some point, in the interest of justice, a judge will say, you know, enough's enough. I don't care what the facts are. This case is gone.
So let's cut right through that, because there's something important that's in the middle of all of that, and that Aaron Schock has acknowledged in all of this, which is there were questions about his sexuality, right, that he was being asked by the prosecutors. And the idea there, I mean, this is what I think when I hear that, is them basically saying, listen, do you really want your lifestyle to be on trial here? And Aaron Schock, for the record, says that he's straight and that whatever they were asking him is inaccurate, or what they were positing is inaccurate, and that he's never had any kind of a situation like that. So he stands by that, but he says that by asking that is almost like extorting him.
Of course it is.
To try to pressuring him into saying, yeah, okay, I did the Downton Abbey thing, and I probably shouldn't have. I didn't pay it back properly. I plead guilty, right? But I mean, but prosecutors use levers all the time.
Yeah, that's dialed bottom of the deck. I can't cite chapter and verse on what it is, but to me that is an ethical violation. You don't do that. The prosecutor is supposed to be wearing the white hat, and you certainly don't threaten somebody with exposing a lifestyle choice or whatever, however you want to define it.
Personally embarrass them, not
personally
embarrass.
Not, no, do it. You've got you have the facts here. You don't need that. And if you have a bunch of, if I had heard that as a supervisor, if I was a supervisor, I would have fired them all. That to me, it's so over the line.
They said some witnesses were testifying before a grand jury when they too were asked about his sex life. So it seemed to be this obsession with
weird
part of his life.
Yeah,
very strange.
It has nothing to do with stealing government money. But there was a bigger argument too. He was trying to make that the House rules dictate what he can do with that money, and there was a separation of powers argument. They actually took to the Seventh Circuit and lost.
Jesse Jackson Jr. said he sort of remarked about this case that I paid back every cent too, but I wasn't granted this opportunity. I still had to go to prison.
Jesse's case was pretty strong.
Well, I mean, was this not, because again, we saw the indictment when it came in.
Yeah.
I haven't read it in 2 years, but I remember seeing it when it came in, and it was, as you point out, it was an indictment.
Done reading that. And again, I've known Aaron for a long time. I read it. I'm like, man.
But they couldn't prove it up, is what you're saying.
Well, something fell apart. It might have been, like I said before, it might have been bad conduct by the prosecutors, or maybe just evidence fell apart. It happens. Not often, because the review process to go get an indictment as a Justice Department lawyer, is, especially for public corruption, takes a long time.
Well, I will ask you this in about 20 seconds. Oh, you know, let me ask you this on the other side. But I'll ask you, then you'll answer it on the other side. Does this play into the narrative that the Justice Department is out of control? Stay right there, Pat Brady. You don't answer that question.
Can I call Monica?
Right after.
He's busy. He's on CNN.
He's busy right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the news?
We'll bring you part two of our series, R. Kelly Offstage.
All right, Pat Brady is here, and Aaron Schock, the congressman from downstate, from Peoria, was basically let go by the federal government today after a four-year rigmarole over whether or not he was stealing money from his own campaign and not paying it back properly. The DOJ drops the case. Does this play into the narrative that the Department of Justice has gone rogue, Pat Brady?
Yes, I do. I think that it does.
It does play into the narrative. Has it gone rogue?
No, not at all. There's a bunch of fine people working there. This happens every once in a while. And I guess the thing, too, with Trump, even Trump's own attorney, Ty Cobb, yesterday described Bob Mueller as a patriot and American hero. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion that the FBI or anybody has gone rogue is ridiculous. I think I probably said this before on the show. My first case was a huge case, and I remember thinking to myself, there's no way these guys conspired to do anything. They couldn't conspire to order a paperclip. It just doesn't work that way.
This was just a badly put together case and then bad behavior by the prosecutors during the questioning of him. And look out, right? Is that about sums this up?
Yeah, that's what Monaco told me.
Thank you.
I can't wait till he's back.
Trust me, Pat. If we could have gotten him, you wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah. All right, try to dress up a little more for us, too, Pat.
News in 2 minutes. The Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is indeed.
Yes, it is. And yes, it's just after 5 o'clock.
And we'd like to also thank Kim Gordon for bringing us the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
And we'd like to thank Jen DeSalvo for bringing in her puppy dog today. It's really hard to get anything done.
It is. The dog is the star. At one point, I mentioned this earlier, Jen has, and Jen has been great being like our, you know, just on the spot for us. Jen's got a billion jobs and has been sitting in with us and helping us out here for the last couple of months now.
Yes.
You know, along
and
with
more
Pam
job,
Jones.
Since her husband has had the surgery and he's got a little puppy now. A lot of extra
this
things.
This is unexpected. There was already, it was announced in Robert Feeder's column yesterday, the Daily Herald, and of course on his website, that we're going to be having a new permanent traffic reporter starting with us next week. But the thing that Jen has done is just, you know, come in, always, you know, the last minute.
Brings it.
Bringing it, been great. And today she got caught because her dog just had surgery, can't be around other dogs. And her husband just had surgery, he can't be around other dogs either. And the next thing you know,
she's in charge of everything.
We got a dog running around the studio with us here. And this dog has attracted, there are people from all over downtown that are coming over now to see this dog.
Willie Wilson came over, I think. He lives next door.
We just went outside to do, you know, our duties, and I forgot that people get out of work at like 5 o'clock, and yeah, there was lots of randoms petting her in the elevator.
Well, she's so adorable.
The word of the day is rando.
Yes, rando. Right. There's a bunch of randos that were petting her, which is, you know, again.
Misused.
Not good. Especially if the dog just had surgery, you don't want a bunch of randos. That's not going to end up well.
She's sore.
Yeah, yeah. And then you might need antibiotics.
Well, she's even past the donut stage, so she's just not to the point where she can play around with other dogs.
All right, so we have her. You took her outside to do her duty?
There's a residential building around here that has one indoor in their parking garage, and it's connected through the pedway.
Oh, good.
Everything's
move.
In the pedway. You can find everything.
See, she's very incredibly resourceful, Jen DeSalvo is. All right, well, I want to thank you and Daisy for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
That was, she is that was adorable. Very kind of you. Yeah. I'm going to pull that audio in and cherish it forever.
Mm-hmm. And play it for her when she's older, and then she doesn't remember this moment.
It's the top five on the Ro Khan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. We will. Checking in at
number five.
The president expressed disappointment over reports that North Korea is rebuilding a key missile launch facility. He took questions in the Oval Office today. A reporter asked him about the activity around the launch pad and engine testing site.
What we're going to see, it's too early to see, but we have to solve a problem. We have a very nasty problem there. We have to solve a problem. The relationship is good. I would be very disappointed if that were happening. It's a very early report. We're the ones that put it out. But I would be very, very disappointed in Chairman Kim, and I don't think I will be, but we'll see what happens. We'll take a look. It'll ultimately get solved.
It's a very early report, but we put the report out. Now, obviously it was put out by the administration with the intent to have this conversation. And what I I'm turning over a new leaf here.
Oh.
I'm trying to understand the language patterns of the president, because I think that part of his problem as a politician, and he would argue he's the best politician of all times, and there's a good argument for him being an excellent politician, but as a leader, there are some questions. He knows how to get elected, but can he actually lead in a substantial way in a situation like this? And by telling us everything is fine and the situation is solved, when nothing happened, nothing changed, except for us, we're no longer practicing with the Koreans and the Japanese in case we have to go to war there or anywhere, coordinating our allied assets against some other force, whether it's China, North Korea, Russia, or whatever it is. We're no longer practicing with them. We gave that up, which was, I don't think, a particularly wise long-term strategy. But we did, and we were hoping, and then he hasn't tested any missiles in the meantime. But now things fell apart in Hanoi, and you see North Korea testing the president. And what he's trying to do there in his language is say, I see you. But he's still trying to charm him a little bit.
Right. I'd be very disappointed in you.
I still love you, but please don't disappoint Daddy. But I love you. You don't want to disappoint me.
I don't want to be disappointed.
And I don't think this is how international relations have been traditionally done. And you could make the argument, well, maybe it's time for a change. I don't think so. Because we've had essentially, with the exception of some fiat wars around the world, we've essentially had 70 years of peace on the planet Earth. Right, you go back to how the world wars began. It's when European leaders splintered apart. It's when everybody started fighting with everybody else and deciding, well, I'm going to go take who's the weakest one here. I'm going to go take them. And we're kind of heading toward that. And part of that has to do with sort of with a new direction with the United States of America deciding, hey, you know what, Europe, you're not that important to us. Canada, go blank yourself. Right? I mean, it's not necessarily the best place to be. So the old world order is going away, and the old world order was pretty good for business. Not anymore. Who's best benefited by this, too? It's clearly Vladimir Putin. And again, why are we trying to help that guy? He's really not our friend. I'd like to explain that. Maybe it's not going to work out if I try to explain it.
Number four.
Oh, God. Michael Cohen, back on Capitol Hill today and taking time away from this radio program for our legal analyst.
Very selfish.
Michael Monaco.
Very selfish of him.
In a closed-door interview before the House Intelligence Committee, and they had these cameras outside the committee. It's like it's a closed-door meeting, but it's still just a door. Why aren't people just going up and listening to the door?
Well, I would do that, wouldn't you?
And it's next to a men's room. And they had a picture of the men. The whole time you're staring at a picture of the men's room, and they go, the committee is right behind this door. And the door was to the men's room. And I'm like, wait a second.
You're pointing at the wrong door.
Is everybody going in there to have the meeting?
Said he brought a lot of records with him because it was a long time behind that closed door.
Yeah, he brought records, and he also brought canceled checks. And those checks have been released. Of when Donald Trump wrote him checks that he says were to offset his outlay of payment to Stormy Daniels.
Right. Some were signed by the president. Some were signed by his Donald Trump Jr. And then Alan Weisselberg as financial officer. All of them.
Oh, God. The Donald Trump Jr. signed checks. I don't know how I feel about that. Are those real? All right. This is what Mr. Cohen said to the assembled reporters on his way out.
Everything went very well. I believe that they're happy with my responses. It's been a long day. It's been a long couple of days. But again, I believe they're happy, and I have given them my assurance that any additional information that they need, I'm here to cooperate and will continue to cooperate. So thank you all very much.
Then he walks away with Mike Monaco in tow. And he actually leads Mike Monaco by his scarf. It's weird. It's almost like
beautiful scarf.
It's how we're dealing with Daisy, taking Daisy out to do Daisy's doo-doo-doo earlier. All right. Now, here's Adam Schiff, or as the president calls him, Shifty Schiff. You like that? I'm road testing that.
He called him worse than that once.
I did, but I found out I'm not supposed to. Melania told me not to say that in front of people, so I'm calling him Shifty Schiff. And if I happen to make a mistake, so be it.
We had requested documents of Mr. Cohen. He has provided additional documents to the committee. There may be additional documents that he still has to offer, and his cooperation with our committee continues. So I think the members found it an enormously productive session, and we're very grateful for the time. It went on, obviously, a lot longer than anticipated. We expected we would have one day of testimony, but there was more than enough questions for him to last well through a second day.
It sounded like a Mark Trestman team meeting, didn't it?
Where's the energy in this?
That's exactly what Mark Trestman, when he was the Bears head coach, and now the coach of the not-yet-named Tampa Bay XFL franchise, that's how he's going to do it. All right, guys, well, there were a lot of documents that we went through today. A lot of them are, I believe we're going to have a practice a little bit throughout the day with these documents, and then maybe there's enough documents to have a practice again tomorrow. If there's anybody here who needs help with their taxes or parking tickets, please let me know. All right, 3, 2, and 1. But first, Kim, what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
It'll soon be harder to save a dollar in Illinois.
Top 5 continues. We've worked our way, sadly, to
number 3.
Alex Trebek announced this afternoon that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He put a post up on the Jeopardy YouTube page.
Yeah.
Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease.
Now, I will say, yeah, I have a dear friend who was diagnosed with this about 7-8 years ago, and he beat it.
Oh,
still around today.
God bless.
Still at this stage, too. It was one of those things where, because this pancreatic cancer is incredibly swift moving, and it's an awful form of the disease. Metastasizes quickly through the body. Caught it early on, but it was still, you know, at stage 4, and they were able to, and it depends on the types of treatments, but there are some treatments that are actually a key in the lock of pancreatic cancer that have been found.
Yeah, I remember Steve Jobs suffered from pancreatic cancer and ultimately claimed his life. But
right.
That's good to hear about your friend, and
yes,
there's hope for Alex Trebek. He
right.
certainly has the right attitude about it. But it's tough. He said apparently there was news that he underwent brain surgery in December, just a couple months ago, due to a fall. And so he's had some health troubles, and now this news. Tough.
We love him. Alex
yeah,
Trebek,
I do too.
Amazing gentleman of broadcasting. Checking in at
number 2.
I don't know how I feel about this guy, though. R. Kelly. Back behind bars this afternoon, a judge placed him into custody because he owes more than $160,000 in child support. His publicist, Daryl Johnson, says that R. Kelly doesn't have the full amount because he hasn't been able to work.
We were coming expecting that he was going to come and make an arrangement, but they wanted the entire amount. He didn't have $161,000, so we tried to work some things out. It didn't work out. And hopefully we'll get him out by Wednesday next week. There's been a lot of things going on in Mr. Kelly's life.
No.
Lawsuits, all the things that are happening. And he just didn't have the money. I think it was $50,000 or $60,000 that he was willing to pay. And in the end, nobody wins. Kids still don't have any money.
Well, exactly what is R. Kelly going to do to make up that money in the meantime? Right?
Great question. He still hasn't been able to work, and it seems like concerts and are dropping him. He had some international dates that were canceled based on this, what, you know, these criminal charges at hand. And you see the hashtag boycott R. Kelly trending.
And then R. Kelly sat down with CBS Morning Show and Gail King here in Chicago. It aired, the full thing aired this morning. Michael Avenatti is going to join us at 5:40 today to talk about this. He was supposed to be on a little earlier with us, but this was happening all at the exact same moment.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a little free time with him. But here is R. Kelly. Just this is a little piece. We'll play more of it coming up in the after 5:40. But listen to this.
Robert. I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. What? Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
Gotta love Gail King's composure during all that, because she was calmly asking him questions throughout that interview, and he obviously at some point just sort of snapped and didn't want to be answering them anymore.
Yep, for sure.
Now, also, we should just say that one of the young women who he's involved with a relationship currently, those two women living with him, she has now reached out to her parents for the first time in years after that interview aired to tell them that she's okay.
You know, this has come up before with him, where women have you know, this was there was a woman from Florida, the family from mm-hmm. Florida, that a couple of years ago, same sort of thing. They couldn't get a hold. They were worried about it. And they reached down, like, hey, I'm fine. And then it basically had to get dropped. So this playbook has been tried before.
Absolutely.
We learned earlier, he doesn't have, at least in one of the houses in Chicago that he owned, he didn't have knobs on the door to open the door to get out of the house.
You had to get buzzed out or helped out, I guess.
Yes.
Which tells something.
And, you know, remember they said there were code violations at his, at that studio?
Yeah, but the code violations had to do with you weren't allowed to have a bed or a living arrangement in that particular area.
And they said there was a fire code violation, because that would be a fire code violation, too.
Might have, but it's the PMD. It's called the Planned Manufacturing District. You're not allowed to live there. You're just allowed to have office space there. So the fact that he had a bed and it looked like people had been living there regularly, that was a major violation.
All right. Checking in finally at
number one.
Game of Thrones actor Kit Harington.
Yes.
Out publicizing the return of Game of Thrones. It's going to be April 14th on HBO. He was on Colbert last night.
I have my theories. I've had theories all along, and all of them were wrong. You know, they were all wrong. And I'm quite glad I never told anyone my theories, because they were all wrong.
Can you even tell us the wrong theories?
No, because then you count those out. I can't say anything.
Yes. Calculatus, eliminatus. We can't
zero.
Do that.
This
okay,
is the problem.
Sure.
This is the problem, Steve.
Right. You're a great guest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
So how's it all going to end?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, if he couldn't figure it out, then none of us have figured it out.
No. And the teaser video they have for the last, you know, final season, I know people are trying to read something into everything every single second, but it just makes me more excited about seeing what's going to happen. I didn't see any clues in that.
It's hard now to do it once a week, though, now that we've gotten used to the binging.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
To space it out like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst.
Making you wait for it.
All right, let's close it up.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's News brought to you by Cars for Kids. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlatsis right here on 720 WGN. Michael Avenatti joins us right now, and he's the attorney who sort of re-sparked the conversation around the country about R. Kelly. Obviously, it started with that documentary that came out, but then Michael Avenatti came in possession of one Is the second one, have you released the second video, Michael?
We've turned two videotapes over to prosecutors during the last month.
Okay, so two are now turned over that you say also continue to feed the narrative here that R. Kelly was having sex with underage girls. And this now we've seen, yesterday we talked to you for just very quickly after CBS released the teaser videos for the interview that Gayle King did with R. Kelly. Now we've seen the full thing, or at least what, not the full 2 hours, but at least we saw, you know, what we saw this morning, very dramatic stuff. And R. Kelly at one point, you know, basically blames the parents for, you know, it was okay for me to be with the kids when I was paying the parents, but when I stopped paying the parents, it's not okay for me to be with them. And I mean, how is that okay?
Well, it's not okay. And not only is it not okay, it's an absolute lie, and it's outrageous that this man would go on national television with Gayle King and outright lie and suggest that these parents sold their daughters. It's disgusting. I'm a father myself of two teenage daughters, and I will tell you that unequivocally that, for instance, my clients, Angelo and Alice Clary, their daughter Azriel, is currently with R. Kelly. They have never received a single penny from R. Kelly or anyone associated with him. They've never asked for any money, and they sure as hell did not sell their daughter to R. Kelly. And it is disgusting and despicable that this man would make this claim, and I believe that we will be filing a defamation lawsuit against R. Kelly, and I'm going to make him account for these words that he used during this interview, because it is patently false and an outrage.
So I just want to make this clear. Your clients, the Clarys, never received any form of remuneration from R. Kelly. Or any anyone associated with R. Kelly.
Not a single penny. He never paid them. He never promised them anything. They got absolutely nothing. And again, I want to be clear. I not only represent them, but I also represent three victims, as well as a few whistleblowers in connection with this matter. We've been working on it since April of last year.
So, Clary, the daughter of the people you represent is currently involved in some sort of relationship with R. Kelly, hasn't reached out to our knowledge or what we've been told in years to her own parents, and they believe this is some sort of abusive arrangement where they're being manipulated and brainwashed, I believe the word they used today. The other young woman who is there reached out to her parents for the first time and said, "I'm happy. It's okay." What do you think is going on here? How should we read this situation, given the circumstances?
Well, there's no question that these young ladies, in general, are being brainwashed. I've met with no fewer than four girls, women, young women, who were previously with R. Kelly. They all describe similar circumstances. Every one of them has looked me in the eye and stated that if R. Kelly would have told them to kill themselves, commit suicide, while they were with him, acts basically, this guy is a sociopath, and he is a manipulative monster, frankly, and those are big words, but I stand behind them. The fact of the matter is that this guy manipulates these young women into doing and saying all kinds of things. And I know a lot of people hear these words, and they scratch their head. It doesn't make a lot of sense to them. But it's very similar to what we see with Stockholm Syndrome, with girls or young boys who are kidnapped and are put in a position with their abductor, where eventually they come to, quote, love, close quote, their abductor and defend their abductor. It's a very similar circumstance.
You broke up, your phone broke up right as you were making the point about if he told them to kill themselves. I'm assuming you said they would. They all say they would have. Is that what you're saying? Because it broke up there.
That's absolutely correct. Okay. Each one of these women have looked me in the eye and said the same thing.
Okay. Now, and a couple of years ago, when this there was a similar situation where there were parents who were upset and went public about their daughter kind of running off with him and didn't know what was going on, and they similarly, you know, the daughter then reached out and said, no, it's fine. But what you're arguing here is that these are people who are not in their right mind. They're not able to make a rational decision about what's right and what's wrong because they entered into his world when they were minors. And even though they may be the age majority now, they're not capable of being able to think clearly about what their circumstances are. You were on with us yesterday, we had a texter say this, and I talked to somebody who has worked for me before, who also worked for R. Kelly, doing a project, and said that he was in R. Kelly's home in Chicago in the 1990s, and that R. Kelly did not have door handles on the inside of the door so people could leave without being buzzed out. Generally, for security purposes, you want people to be able to leave, not to be able to get in. That seems to be the difference. Have you found that to be the case by any of the people that you've talked to? Because that certainly does seem like a pretty scary situation if you go into someone's home and you can't get back out.
Well, I don't know about the door handle issue, but what I will tell you is that there's no question that many of these girls were kept there against their will. They were broken down emotionally and physically over a period of time. And look, let's just look at the numbers. R. Kelly and his attorney, Steve Greenberg, want the world to believe that they are the only two telling the truth. All seven of my clients are lying. All of these other young ladies are lying. All of their parents are lying. So it's basically you got 40, 50, 60 people that are all lying, even though they're telling independent stories of what transpired with them. And yet Steve Greenberg and R. Kelly are the only two people telling the truth about this. It doesn't add up. People are smarter than this. And this guy is going to die in prison, as he rightfully should, in light of the evidence.
How many of there are other former victims, some who received settlements over the years from R. Kelly, will they be allowed to testify in this case, would you imagine, and to show the sheer numbers of women who have such similar allegations against R. Kelly?
I do not believe that they will be permitted to testify in bulk in the criminal proceeding, because generally character evidence is not admissible in a criminal proceeding, either to show innocence or guilt. There are some exceptions to that, when you can show habit and custom, modus operandi, and things of that nature. But that'll be an evidentiary decision that the trial judge will have to make.
But isn't there a rule? I seem to remember this from another case you were involved in. A non-disclosure agreement does not cover up a crime. So if these women signed non-disclosure agreements because they, you know, were victims of something, theoretically here, that they were victims of criminal sexual abuse because they were underage when he was having sex with them, a non-disclosure agreement does not prohibit them from testifying against him in a criminal trial.
You're 100% correct. You cannot have somebody enter into a non-disclosure agreement in an effort to shield yourself from criminal liability.
Right. All right. Hmm. So that's okay. I'm wondering, do you think that's going to come up?
I don't think it's going to come up because I don't think it's controversial. I mean, I think
Have your clients signed NDAs?
I'm not going to get into the details of that. I will tell you that the parents have not signed any NDAs. But regardless of some of the victims, whether they signed NDAs or not, that's not going to preclude them from testifying in a criminal proceeding against R. Kelly. But let me also be really clear about something. This indictment that has been issued within the last 10 days, that is only the beginning. It is not the end. There are going to be additional state charges that will be filed against R. Kelly. I guarantee it. Whether they be in Illinois or in Georgia, there will be significant federal charges filed against R. Kelly in another forum. I'm highly confident of that. And if R. Kelly thinks that he's going to walk from all of these charges without substantial prison time, he's kidding himself.
Michael, you brought forth a new video that allegedly shows R. Kelly with an underage woman referring to herself and body parts, both of them, as being a 14-year-old. And that will be part, I would imagine, central to the new this new case, these criminal charges that are against him. Is the woman on that tape your client, and is she going to be testifying in this case?
Yeah, I'm not at liberty to disclose that. I'm not at liberty, unfortunately, to provide answers to that, even though I'd like to. But here's what I will say. There is no question that that videotape, that both videotapes, show R. Kelly, number one. There's no question. It is clear as day. They are both lengthy. He is shown. He's got a black mole on his back. I know that was an issue back in 2008. The audio on the tapes is clear. It is R. Kelly's voice. There's no question that the young girl is 14 years of age. This was not role play by any stretch of the imagination, and other things are said during or on the tape that substantiate the fact that this was a 14-year-old girl. And, in fact, if you watch that video, let me tell you one of the things I thought was so interesting about that video, or the interview, I should say, by Gail King.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. R. Kelly differentiates or attempts to differentiate his conduct by talking about things that happened way, way back. Well, what he doesn't understand is, in Illinois, there generally is not a statute of limitations when you sexually assault a young girl under the age of 17. So it doesn't matter if it was way, way back. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. So that's first of all. And second of all, he talks about double jeopardy. He's a much better singer than he is an attorney, because he clearly does not understand how double jeopardy works. It does not work in the way that he wished it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's saying that he beat the case, by the way. And not a lot of innocent people go, hey, I beat the last case. But he said he beat the last case. And therefore, well, how can they keep charging him with this stuff? Because it's different people. And I think that that has either not been explained to him or it hasn't gotten through. So we'll just
It doesn't even have to be. It doesn't even have to be different people. It could be the same person. But, you know, if you sexually assault a young lady underage in the morning and you're charged with that crime and you are acquitted, and if you sexually assaulted her 3 days later, but you weren't charged with that crime, and I'm being very general in what I'm saying, and there's exceptions to this, that doesn't mean that you can't ultimately be charged for the act 3 days later at some later date by prosecutors.
But
that's not double. That's not double jeopardy, generally speaking.
But now you've piqued my curiosity. Is there a chance that that woman is going to come forward again?
You know, I think that there is a chance, frankly, that that's going to happen. But I represent two other victims who are at the center of the indictment, namely the two young ladies with DNA evidence. And as we all know, DNA evidence is incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to overcome by a defendant. So, you know, prosecutors have not put all their eggs into one basket, although us turning over the first tape in early February, you know, clearly blew this open. And we were happy to do so because we believe this child predator needs to be locked up for the rest of his life.
Does he currently have other women who, of age or not of age, that you, of your knowledge, to your knowledge, staying in other homes outside of Illinois or elsewhere?
I'm not at liberty to answer that question, but what I will say is that this has been a pervasive practice by him for decades. And he did not accomplish this on his own. This is a man who can barely read by his own admission. He is not able to book flights, hotel rooms, move girls around, keep them hidden, cover this up, destroy evidence, lie to parents, miss and loved ones, all by himself.
All right.
There was a whole group of enablers that assisted him.
Michael Avenatti, thank you for your time. Appreciate
it, thanks,
sir.
Michael.
All right. Let's check in right now with Kim, find out what's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
Roe Uber is looking for Uber-sized office space.
That's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Erin Brockovich is joining us.
Yay.
She really needs no introduction, but I will give her one anyway. Erin Brockovich, who has been, she sprang to national awareness and prominence, obviously, after the movie, named Aaron Brockovich, hit the big screen. And it tells a story of this woman who was working in a law firm who doggedly goes after a big energy company to say, hey, you guys are poisoning the water supply in communities in California, and nobody is doing anything about it. And it changed the way that certainly that company did what it did. And it also brought awareness to the fact that companies can often do very bad things and try to get away with it by using either state or federal laws or the bureaus that are in charge, the watchdogs that are in charge of those at the state or federal level are often compromised in terms of their investigations. And now we find ourselves here in Chicago, in the Chicago area, in Willowbrook specifically, in a very similar kind of situation. There's a company called Sterigenics. And Sterigenics, according to all of these reports from the last number, it's over a year now, was leaching a known carcinogen into the atmosphere, this ethylene oxide. Now, Aaron, I'll let you pick it up from here. Can you explain what that actually is? What's ethylene oxide and why is it so dangerous?
Well, hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on your show. Well, straight away to the one question. This is why, you know, when people ask me questions, they're like, oh my gosh, don't invite her again, because it's disturbing and makes people really nervous. And unfortunately, you need to know you're dealing with a dangerous chemical, ethylene oxide, as you said, which is a man-made colorless, and it's an odorless gas. It's very concerning that studies have shown it can cause DNA mutations. But if we really just, in its simplest terms, want to tell you, ethylene oxide is used to create bunker buster bombs. So this is like a chemical that should not be around populated areas where you have homes and police stations and schools and businesses. And it is a cancer-causing compound, and it's a very concerning issue for the community, who is becoming quite outspoken about this issue. And as I'm sure you're aware, because of their voice and the mayor and being able to finally do some monitoring and seeing what the levels are, that they're under a TRO and they're temporarily shut down.
Right.
So it's not a good situation.
It seems as it, well, so this has been going on for, what, decades, according to what we've learned. But some of the test results that have just come recently in January, I believe, from the EPA showed an even more higher elevation before they shut it down, which probably one of the reasons they did. But the issue here is you hear so many residents now questioning. Jim Tomey's wife, the famous the White Sox great Jim Tomey, Andrea, wrote a very compelling article in Chicago Magazine about her family's experience. And she wonders now, is my mother or my dad's brain cancer contributed partially to exposure to this chemical? Is my mom's death? My children now, I'm worried about them. You can imagine what's going through the minds of so many of them and the risks of being exposed to this. What would you say to those people?
Well, they have every right to be concerned. I mean, there's a couple of things that I could say, and one thing that we should look up, that the company or the community is so upset with the company about, is that they've been able to self-report, and they've had very really not a lot of oversight, so they can self-report, they can minimize a report, they make decisions on whether or not that they should inform the public of a spill or not. And if they're self-reporting and levels are low, but then the EPA comes and sees that they're triple that amount or 350 times that amount, the community has every right to get really, really upset. One thing that they can do is they can work with some of the local groups. Stop Sterigenics is a very large group that's very vocal, and they can be a part of that group and report to that group. They could also report to mycommunityhealthbook.com. And it's a community health book that we've developed that gives people a place to report what's happening to them, their health, and what's happening in their backyard, so we can see them and look at, are there correlations to these illnesses with the chemical that we know is in the area. But they should be upset, and I don't want them to be afraid to speak out, and there are a couple of places that they can go to so we can begin to look further into the issue, which I know the state is doing now, and the EPA is there, but I don't want people to just get comfortable in that. It's not until they come out and we know what's happening with them that we can really start putting some pressures and getting in there and helping the community and finding some answers for what's gone wrong with their health.
It is still amazing to me, and I'd like to get your thought about this, that it took as long as it did for the government to act here. Mm-hmm. Because if something as dangerous potentially as this particular chemical is, was present in the environment at a level that was dangerous. They, for example, previous outdoor levels at Willowbrook Village Hall, which is right across the street from one of the Sterigenics buildings, were at 6.21 micrograms per cubic meter. New readings showed 38 micrograms per cubic meter. And that I mean, we don't know, and that maybe it changes depending on what they're doing at any given moment, but isn't it, I mean, at a moment, like, I think to your point, Aaron, this is probably not supposed to be in a populated area. I mean, you know,
you've got four schools, including Hinsdale South, within a mile or so. You've got daycare centers, parks, ball fields, shopping centers. I mean, this is heavily populated where this within a very short distance of this particular plant.
The government represents us, right? They represent us. That's what they're supposed to do, the individuals. I mean, where were they in this?
Well, that's an excellent question, and oftentimes they're absent. You know, I can sit here and, you know, pick the EPA apart, and I'm not always inclined to do that because there's really intelligent, well-meaning people in there. But this is an agency that's just got, you know, they're getting the squeeze. They're overburdened, they're understaffed, and they're underfunded. And this is where regulations are really important, and we get into arguments about this all the time, and I don't know that we even need more regulations. What we need is better enforcement of the regulations that we have on the books, and not just assume that a company, if they self-report, is going to tell us the truth. They've shown us that oftentimes they don't, and they need to have better oversight from state agencies and federal agencies. So they slid through the cracks. It's that cover-up. I've learned with communities, they'll deal with the truth. They won't deal with the cover-up, and that's what they're so upset about. And so now the agencies are going to have to come in and explain to us, where have you been, or have you been relying on self-reporting? And if that's the case, that type of policy needs to end.
Yeah,
you just continue to sit by and assume that they're going to do the right thing by us.
Mm-hmm. You saw the company responding throughout this whole thing. This is a naturally occurring type of, you know, chemical, I guess, or it's in the air. It's all around us. That we've found levels that were consistent with the rest of the Chicago area, and the EPA has pretty much found that that's just not true.
No, that's not true. And you know, I've seen companies have water run uphill and tell you a whole lot of things. I've learned a lot about hexavalent chromium. Now, stuff just in your breakfast cereal and it's good for you. No, not kind of hexavalent.
I remember that scene from the movie, Aaron Brockovich. I remember that.
I mean, I'm so tired of these moments where it's like you're standing in a community and you're seeing the two-headed frog in the green water, and they're going to tell you, oh, that's perfectly normal. No, it's not. And if what you're doing is so naturally occurring and absolutely normal, why are you under a temporary shutdown?
Yeah. Great point.
But be us and start telling the people the truth. You've got the EPA there now. You've got the state there. You've got your political leaders involved. And they're telling us otherwise. And this ethylene oxide, again, I shared with you, is a man-made odorless chemical. What about that statement makes you think that it's just naturally occurring? And at levels that way exceed anything that has been determined to be protective of the public health welfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that the people who live out there and throughout the Chicago area, this is a very large area of concern, because, you know, we keep talking about Willowbrook, but you've got town leaders in all of the surrounding communities there, right? You've got, you've got Burr Ridge, and you've got Hinsdale, and there are so many, that's a pretty fancy part of the metropolitan area. And you've got politicians from there who are, you know, going door to door asking for donations from some pretty well-heeled families in that area. And that those people are starting to ask questions, because there have been a lot of, and Aaron, I think we all know this, we can all acknowledge this, there are a lot of companies that have gone into you know, more blighted areas, and they don't get the kind of political representation that they normally you would. The squeaky wheel doesn't necessarily get the grease in places in, you know, in less developed economic areas in this country. But you are in the, you know, you're in one of the more wealthy
right
counties in America, DuPage County. And there's a lot of people upset about this and finally going to their politicians going, where were you when this was all going on? And why, you know, why, how has this been in the environment for as long as it has? And now you got the obviously personal injury attorneys involved. And it's, you know, it's very much a it's become a bit of a circus. But people got to take this seriously. And I think to Aaron Brockovich's point here is that this kind of thing, you know, let's take Sterigenics out of it for a moment. The, mm-hmm. These kinds of situations where you have environmental hazards that are leaching out as a result of just normal business operations, you know, it's something that, that, you know, people do need to be aware of because, you know, that it just is not right. It's not right. Hey, I want to ask you, can I ask you just very quickly? I know this is a little off the topic. But obviously, you know, you came to prominence because of the film on a national way. And Albert Finney, who played your boss in that, played Ed Masry, just passed away. And, you know, and it, to me, we know when you watch that film and you see the great Albert Finney portraying such a beautiful representation, that movie really does tug at your heart. And it's very accurate. A lot of these biopics, not necessarily as accurate. Do you have any thoughts on the passing of that and how important he was? Because Ed passed away a number of years ago, did he not?
He did. Ed passed away in 2005. And when I heard Albert Finney passed away, it was with great sorrow. I mean, he's a great man. He obviously did an amazing job in the film, Aaron Brockovich. And you know, imparting who Ed was, but that is also who Albert Finney was. And he was that passionate, outspoken man that was able to bring that for life, you know, to life on the big screen. So I felt really sad again. And it certainly took me to a place of Ed. And, you know, they leave for us, though, a torch that we can continue to pass on. And that is something that we need to do. And even in the situation that's happening, you know, in DuPage, in this area, is getting people re-involved with their own backyard and not taking for granted that somebody's looking out for you. I tell people all the time, Superman's not coming. And we're going to have to start paying attention and holding our leader feet to the fire. Where have you been? And we need to get re-involved. I encourage people, go to your local city council, right where those permits possibly passed for Sterigenics to operate in your neighborhood. And speak up and rise up. That is where things change. And you're seeing it happening in your own backyard. You're going to be living proof of it through Stop Sterigenics and that community pushing on their leaders and working collectively. And I've seen companies run out of town for this very reason and demanding that our agencies and our leaders do their jobs. But we can't take it for granted that they are. So people need to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real issue.
MyCommunityHealthBook.com is Aaron's.
CommunityHealthBook.com.
CommunityHealthBook.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would encourage you to join Stop Sterigenics. They are getting a real movement going.
All right.
And leaders are paying attention. It's sad, though, that it's happening
too late.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't stop it now.
Aaron, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you for your time. Thank you both.
Let's check now with Kim, what's happening in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, another state potentially building a case against R. Kelly.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with Health and Fitness Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a day's worth of developments here. And I just looked up, you know, Kevin has been reporting on the fact that the Bears have signed a kicker whose last name is Blewett to the roster. And I just looked it up. I thought, well, maybe it's B-L-U-E-T-T, and that's how they're pronounced. No, it's not.
No, it's just what
B-L-E-W-I-T-T. Blewett.
With two T's.
Two T's.
Double Blewett.
Double T.
Yeah, just to make sure that in case anybody has any questions about it, that
Blewett.
He means it. I don't know.
Doesn't make you feel comfortable going in.
Nope. All right. Time now to take a short time out before we get the news from Kim Gordon at the bottom of the hour.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. We are playing News or Ruse. If you'd like to play, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can line up right now. I'd like to introduce you to our celebrity.
Royalty, really.
Yes.
We have royalty in the studio.
Her Highness is with us. She is Her Royal Highness.
Mm-hmm.
We are about to, you're about to meet, and I love this every year. This is one of my favorite things, Maddie Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Maddie is this year's Queen of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the official city one that goes down Columbus.
Yes. So you get to wear a crown
and
the sash
and
be part of this amazing tradition.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe it.
64 years. Now, you were just telling me that you have been on the court for the last number of years.
Yeah. So this was my fourth year doing the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016 was the first time I did it, and I made it onto the court. I kind of, like, didn't really know what I was doing, but it was such a fun day, and I met so many great people, and kind of was just myself and had fun, and then it went well. It's funny, every like round that I made it more, my mom was the only one there, and she was like, oh, I'll get some work done, I'll just pull my laptop out, don't worry, Matt, like, I'll be there. And then as I kept making it further and further, she was like, what's happening? So she started calling all my like relatives and my dad and all these people. She said, you guys should probably get down to the plumber's hall, like, you know, because the plumbers have been the host of the whole
By
thing.
The way, that is a very Chicago thing to Isn't say. It? You better get down to the plumber's hall. Our daughter's about to become a queen.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is from your mom, who said all these tough guys from the plumber's hall, just loved you, and they felt like you were like this kind, sweet person. They were in tears when you won.
You're right. It was, I mean, you know, they've been so generous to me and the other girls on the court. I mean, from day one, Jim Coyne looked at me as we walked across the stage, and he was like, welcome to the plumbers, like, you're gonna be a plumber. I was like, this is the best family. Nice. They've turned into the best family, and it's true, they just have been so generous to me, so it's been great.
Yeah, awesome. this is not a big, like, we've got to be this particular pageant, if you will, is not for the people who are regularly in beauty pageants, right? Is not that kind of a deal where you've got, you know, the Mama June and all that sort of, you know, crazy stuff going on. This is, you know, this really is about Irish heritage. It's a lot of kids who, you know, came up either, you know, in similar parishes, or they, you know, been step dancing and their knees go both ways since they were 5 years old or whatever it is.
I don't know how they do
that. Are you one of those? How old were you when you started?
I think I was in second grade, which honestly, I remember people telling my mom, ooh, it's late. And I remember being like,
it's late to start on the dancing.
Yeah.
Well, because you got to train your knee to go the wrong way.
Yes. It doesn't happen naturally.
How expensive was your most expensive wig? Quickly.
$75.
$75.
Those are great. You can't just keep reusing those?
Oh, no. I would. But it's funny because before that, I have a lot of hair. And my mom would like put the mousse in. And she's like, this magic wand curlers. And then by like the second competition I was in, she was like, now I know how these moms get the wigs.
Yeah, we're just going to get the wigs. That's what we're going
to
do.
But it was fun, yeah. But you're right. It is you have to be super part of the community and to do the Queen's Contest.
Mm-hmm. They have literally on Western Avenue, there are just stores for the wigs.
Dedicated to that.
And for the knee braces. I think the wigs and the knee braces go like hand in hand right there. All right. Well, Your Highness, hold on 1 second. And don't forget, the big parade is coming up a week from Saturday.
Yep, March 16th.
Right down Columbus. Columbus and Balboa is where it kicks off, and then all the way down, you know, north on Columbus from there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's still a great tragedy and crime that it doesn't go down Dearborn. It's where it should always go. It's a Saturday. You should might as well put it on Dearborn. What the hell else is going on down
Maybe
there?
Maybe I'll just have the carriage and, you know, the different cars with all my girls. We'll just keep going.
Go
we'll
rogue.
Just go straight through.
Sure.
I like the idea of that. It's go total Blues Brothers right there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right, let's play News or Ruse. What are we playing for here? The winner. Got a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. Oh, speaking of plumbing, wow, look at that.
What a nice tie-in.
I like what we did right there. True Outlet prices every day. Check out the Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park, or as we call it, Ireland Park. $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And a never measure for the runners-up. Easily center and level hang your wall decoration. See, this is really good for the trades. I just want to point this out. Eliminate the need for measuring tape or calculate fractions. Veteran-owned and operated in the U.S. of A. Get yours at nevermeasure.com. And the runners-up get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They're 60-minute men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Wow. Woo!
Got to
do that. James is playing with Kim. Let's find and make sure we got everybody here. James, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha. Bill is playing with Kevin.
Hello.
All right, Bill.
And Austin is playing with Maddie. Oh,
hey.
Boy.
Hi, Austin.
Right, I need more chemistry between the two of you. I don't
Ooh,
know what's going on.
Austin, we're going to win.
What's up? I'm waiting for band practice to start.
Yay! All right, now, Maddie, the interesting thing about Maddie, Maddie is wearing, this is an engagement ring, I'm assuming.
I am, Austin, I'm sorry.
But it's an emerald ring.
It's an emerald green!
It's an emerald.
Oh,
and it's so.
It looks stunning, like something Princess Diana would have worn. Oh. I mean, it's just.
You couldn't be more Irish. You just really couldn't
be. I know.
All right, let's start with James and Kim. Here is your headline.
James,
ready?
Yep.
Self-driving cars may be more likely to hit you if you have dark skin.
Well, I don't trust them.
I didn't hear the last part.
I don't. You want to repeat it?
Likely to hit you if you wear dark what?
If you
dark
have skin.
Dark skin.
Oh, dark skin.
Liam Neeson loves the idea of this.
I'm guessing.
Although I'm very happy to have an Irish woman here, I'll say this right now. I'd take my cush out and hit any of them and come by me.
I think it's news. What do you think?
I think news. Let's go news.
All right, and you would be right.
Right.
It is news.
You got it.
Because we would get boycotted for just doing that if it weren't. You got to think about the politics of this.
You can't just make that one up.
Bill and Kevin.
Bill and Kevin, here is your headline. Florida bill would ban the banning of plastic straws. Ban the banning of the plastic straws.
Florida's always a trick question, Bill. I'm going to go ruse. Your thoughts?
I think I'm going to go news.
Okay, we'll go news, Bill.
Well done. Way to go against Kevin
on
that
teamwork,
one.
Bill.
Mm-hmm. Got to remember.
I think he blew it.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
All right. The average American, this is for Austin and Maddie. Get ready. Here's your headline.
All right.
The average American drinks half their weight in beer during the month of March.
I thought it was just one weekend.
Ooh. Half their weight.
If not more.
I don't know, Austin. What do you think?
I think that's news.
All right, let's go with it. Austin! It's a ruse.
I mean, I do.
Speaking from personal experience.
You would think that would kind of work out. Although, this is a bad time, you know, for people to give up stuff at Lent. A lot of people give up alcohol at Lent.
That's true.
That's quitters. That's who does that right there. All right, go ahead.
James and Kim, here's your headline. Vegans accused of killing piglets by accident after storming farm to cuddle them. Oh, I totally believe that.
Oh,
I think that's news. What do you think, James?
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll go with it.
All right. That happened.
All right, Bill and Kevin, here is your headline. Lucky Charms Challenge sends 8 Peoria teens to hospital.
I don't know, Kevin. What do you think?
I'm going to go news here. It seems like every day we see something like this popping up in the news.
Okay, I think I'll roll with you, too.
Bill.
Forget it, Bill. It's all you the rest of the way. I'm done today.
Stick with your instincts, Bill.
Austin and Maddie.
Austin, Maddie. Russia passes law to jail people for 15 days for disrespecting government. Oh, boy.
I think that's true. I thought that already existed, too.
Okay, Austin, I'm going to give you one more shot. Let's do it.
Okay.
Look at that.
Nicely done.
All right. It's a bit of a tight race here.
Yeah.
Obviously, James and Kim have a little bit of an advantage. They got two right, and both Bill and Kevin and Austin and Maddie have one right. So we'll come back, and on the other side, we're going to find out who wins News or Ruse. And don't forget to go to the big official City of Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade. You can see our own Maddie right there. You've got a carriage, right?
Yep.
Drawn by donkeys. What takes the carriage down?
It used to be a donkey. It is a beautiful horse now.
It's a beautiful horse now.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, they upgraded.
Nice. It's better and better every year, those plumbers.
And then how big is the court? You have how many people?
I have four lovely ladies on my court, yeah.
Fun.
Do they hate you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope not.
Okay. All right.
I love them.
You can't hate Maddie. I don't think you can hate Maddie.
Good. Because I just want to know if there's jealousy or anything like that. It doesn't seem like this is what this is about.
No. We've been having a blast, so.
I'll bet.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yes.
Literally, they treat us like royalty. So, it's very nice.
See, that's what they're supposed to do. All right, we'll come right back. We'll find out who's going to win News or Ruse. But first, Kim's going to tell us that there's news coming at the top of the hour. We don't need to know that. What we do need to know is what the traffic is on the roads, Jen. All right. It's News or Ruse. Don't forget about that. And we're in a very pitched battle here.
We are.
We have with us the queen of the official Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade a week from Saturday.
Maddie Mitchell.
On Columbus. She'll be in her carriage drawn by beautiful horses. And she's now in... I'm going to tell you something. You're going to look at her and go, that is an Irish queen if I have ever seen one right there. You're welcome. Some people would be like, what? Did you just call me?
Does your fiancé get to ride with you or he has to stay out in the...
You know what? Even if I asked him, he'd probably be like, no thanks.
Do you have to refer to him because you're the queen as the prince because he wasn't actually the king? Is that how we're going to do it, like Prince Philip? Oh, don't bring up Prince Philip. Don't bring up the British royalty. Bad idea.
It's funny. We went to this awesome event up in Edison Park, Sunday Fun Day, and he was standing across the bar from me. I looked over. He was trying to get my attention to, like, you know, offer me a nice beer or something. And I look over at him, and he's literally doing... like the queen,
the
wave.
Queen's wave.
He didn't say anything. He just was doing this. So I was like, oh,
trust me, he'll be telling your kids about how proud he was. You know, your mom was the queen,
huge.
Yeah, the Irish queen of Chicago.
Right.
All right. Let's get back to News or Ruse. It's a tie right now between Bill and Kevin and Austin and Maddie. Let's start with Bill and Kevin. Here is your headline. Orient
Bill seeks to outlaw dwarf tossing at Washington bars and strip clubs.
Kevin, what do you say?
Bill, you've been on a roll. I want to go news here.
News or Ruse?
News.
I want to go the other way.
Okay, go Ruse.
Okay, you're out. All right, Austin and Maddie, here is your headline.
Orlando School moves closer to naming pool in honor of Ryan Lochte over PTA objections.
I'm going to say Ruse.
Okay, let's go with it, Austin.
Well done. Nicely done, guys.
Well done. Woo! All right. James and Kim, here you go. This is for the win.
Okay, no pressure here.
Jersey Shore star Vinny asks for Kim Kardashian's help getting Mike, the situation, out of prison.
Oh my gosh. Oh, gee.
Well, we made Orion Samuelson read that.
Mess I've ever heard. Yeah. I would say news.
James?
What do you think it is?
I think news.
Okay.
That is correct.
Way to win it.
That was something. But you know what? Because I want Maddie, because this is bad luck. To not allow
the
Queen of the Irish Parade. Very bad luck in Chicago not to allow this. I want everybody to get all the prizes. So everybody's going to get everything right there.
Oh.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Everybody, hold on.
Congrats,
congratulations
guys.
To everybody. Everybody's a winner here on News or Ruse, which mostly everybody's a loser on this show, and I don't know how that worked out. Builder Supply Outlet gift certificate, the Lou Malnati's gift certificate, Never Measure. You're going to love that, and the desktop indoor weather station for American Weathermakers. How about that? That's very good. Well, you must be very, very excited about
incredibly
this.
Excited.
Yeah, this is going to be really, really very much fun. And then what do you do? Like, what happens on that Sunday? What goes on there? Or the Saturday, I should say.
Oh my gosh. So we start the whole day. There's a beautiful mass at Old St. Pat's Church. A lot of, dignitaries attend. And then we have a breakfast right afterwards with all the same people at the church. And then we head over to the parade, kicks off at Columbus and Balbo noon. Then after that, we're kind of just crawl to different events that we have to attend. So it's a
good
full
way
day,
to put it. Yeah.
It's just, it's
after about
it's
6 o'clock, there's crawling because the parade should be done by like 2, and then they go, let's go to a bar. Let's see what happens. And the next thing you know,
you never know where you end up.
But it is so much fun though. And everyone at the Plumbers Union and the other, sponsors, just like they treat us so well. They're all so excited to have, kicked off a successful event. So we're looking forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We'll be looking for you out there, Maddie.
I'll wave to
congrats.
You all.
Yes, thank
Give
you.
Give us the Queen's wave, please, okay?
Usually I get too excited, it just ends up like this.
But, it's a very frantic wave. It's like, oh my God, right here.
Hi,
I
know you.
This so thing's happy. Moving too fast. All right, well, Don Kleppen's in the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right after this.